Welcome to Health Freedom Radio, live and local. From the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Now, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. I'm Julie Boris, and this is Health Freedom Radio. Health Freedom Radio is a new show airing weekly on Tuesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on WCRN Radio, Radio Central, and we'll be talking about all things health freedom, uncensored. We believe all people have the fundamental, inalienable right to make their own health decisions for themselves and their families, free from coercive tactics by public or private agencies, employers, educational institutions. No one should ever be forced into a medical procedure against their will in order to live, work, or go to school in the great state of Massachusetts, or any other state for that matter. Coming up in just a few minutes, I have a fantastic guest in the studio with me today, John Bowden Sr., author of not one, but two books, The Real CDC, COVID Facts for Regular People, and the CDC Memorandum. But before we get underway, a quick disclaimer. I am not representing any organization. The views expressed on the show today are my own, and the views of my guests are their own. And also, we are not medical doctors or attorneys and are not offering any medical or legal advice today. So my co-host, Lisa Mayer, is under the weather today, so she can't be here. And that is especially unfortunate because it is election day today, and she is running for Republican State Committee Woman in Worcester's 1st District. She's on something called the MA Freedom Slate. So in addition to the president on the primary ballot, both the Democrat State Committee and the Republican State Committee are elected every 4 years. Each of the 40 Senate districts elects one man and one woman to both their Democrat and Republican State Committee. And this is in addition to your town committees. If you care about health freedom and you're looking to find candidates that are running on a platform of protecting personal rights and freedoms in almost all of the districts statewide, you can find them at a website called mafreedomslate.com. I would reach out to these candidates and ask them about their position on health rights, including vaccine and mask mandates and lockdowns and school and business closures and all the other nonsensical countermeasures that the people of Massachusetts were subjected to during the 2 weeks to flatten the curve that turned into 3 years. It is so important. So please make sure you get out and you vote in today's primaries. In these smaller elections, every vote counts. And before I move on, I just want to shout out to all the amazing health freedom people, you know who you are, that will be out in force today holding signs and getting the word out to remind people to vote. Again, so you can go to mafreedomslate.com. Okay, that business taken care of. And one last really important thing I need to mention before we get to our guest is a Zoom call happening tonight at 8 p.m. It is hosted by two nonprofit organizations, Health Action MA, in collaboration with Health Rights MA, and they will be giving an update on all health freedom-related bills in Massachusetts that are still active in the legislature. They'll be giving an update on bills that have to do with the school vaccine schedule, as well as other public health legislation that is very dangerously broad and will give a lot of powers to our public health that could easily be abused in the future and further infringe on your rights and freedoms. So if you want to register for that, you can go to tinyurl.com/massnews or healthrightsma.org, and you'll find a button on the top of the page. Okay, all that's taken care of. Now I can introduce today's guest. He'll be here for the full hour, so stay tuned. John Bowden Sr., he's a Massachusetts resident, an electrical engineer, and John FOIA'd, which is Freedom of Information Act. He FOIA'd all of the Massachusetts death certificates from 2015 to date, really. And he's done a deep dive researching the causes of death and cross-referencing his data with the VAERS system, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So John's been going around and presenting his data all over the country, and he has written a new set of books, The Real CDC, COVID Facts for Regular People, and the CDC Memorandum. So, John, a lot of our listeners may not have heard of you yet. I know a lot of them have and are following your work, and I know that we've talked many times and I've heard you speak many times, but a lot of people, they really, because of censorship, which is why we're here today, they don't know who you are. They don't know anything about you. So if you wouldn't mind, if you could start at the beginning, how did you get involved in all this and what possessed you to FOIA and analyze 420,000 Massachusetts death records? Like, what brought you to that moment? That's what I would like to know.
Sure. First of all, good morning. Good to see you, Julie. I always like talking to another JB.
There's a lot of us.
Yep. Very common. All right. So I'll get into the personal stuff really quickly. Raised three boys in Medfield, Massachusetts, and I lost my oldest son. He was 20. He bought a motorcycle, and that was it within 27 days. So I was depressed sitting on the couch. COVID hit, and I wasn't working. I had just gotten an MBA at 54 years old to show my son school is important. I wanted them to go to college, and they were talking about not going. So I went back to school. And just when I graduated, he died. So I just sat on the couch for a couple of years. COVID hits, and my middle son said, oh, it's all BS. So I looked into the data to say, I'd be a responsible dad and say, you know, Charlie, it's really important that you look into this. And so I looked into it. And as I looked at the data from the CDC, I found some anomalies in the spreadsheets that they had posted online. Excuse me. And anybody can download a CDC file. And the keeper of the record of each file is listed there. You can email them. So I emailed the guy and I said, you know, your math isn't working out among the influenza and pneumonia numbers and then the influenza and pneumonia. So there's influenza alone, pneumonia alone. There's another column that has people with both of them on their deaths. And they didn't add up. I thought, well, that's kind of odd. They probably have a math error. So I emailed him. I said, you have a problem with your 2014 through 2018 data, historical data. Now, that data made 2020 in March and April, it made them look bad. Like, wow, so many people dying of COVID. And so I waited, and about 36 hours, they had taken down the file. They didn't respond to me at all. Never did. Never responded to me. But the file came down. And a day and a half later, when the file came back up, the math error was changed. Or at least I didn't find the error. But it wasn't math that they changed. They changed the data. Now, what that means is somehow in a day, they went back through all the death certificates and they changed the causes of death to match what they wanted it to meet in terms of what they wanted the public to see. You can't change historical data. Basically, I thought it was very nefarious, and I just knew right then that you can't do that. You can't just go back and change historical data without a major investigation at the record level to determine what people died from.
At the record level, and that's the key.
Right, and I didn't have the record level. They did. So I thought, okay, they can't just change all the numbers like that. So then it's a state FOIA. It's called a public records request in Massachusetts. I got into COVID. I sued the governor over the mask mandate, and we can talk about that in a minute. But I went to law school for a year, and then they kicked me out for not getting the vaccine. And then I noticed in the news a 7-year-old girl died from COVID. That's what set me off to get the to do the public records request, because I know there's no way a kid died of COVID. It just doesn't happen.
Okay. So then you put in a FOIA request?
Yeah. Yeah. And I put in 8, spread them around among different people so they wouldn't all have my name on them and be rejected. And the only one that hit was the entire death certificate database. Back then it was 420,000. Now I have over 500,000 from Massachusetts. I also have about 430 or 40,000 from Minnesota, somebody else got. We also have Vermont, and I got a fourth state now I can't talk about until May. So I have like 1.4 million death certificates now.
And then you put all of those into two books. Since we have a couple minutes, why don't you tell me about your books and kind of the top line, and then after the break we can dig more into some of the things that you found.
Sure. Well, what I found, I guess we'll get into that later, but I'll just say the thesis of the book, which is the symptom spectrum profile, which is the causes of death in our society in Massachusetts. The age spectrum profile, what's the average age of people that are dying, and what groups of ages are dying more or less than normal, than excess. And then I call that the age spectrum profile. The seasonality profile is when people die during the year. If it's a respiratory issue that caused their death, it's usually more in the winter in older people. So you have a cyclical, more people die in the winter than in the summer. And that's even for, you know, cardiac arrest and some cardiac stuff too. So the seasonality profile, like I said, the age spectrum profile, the cause of death, which is I call the symptom spectrum profile, they all change starkly on a year boundary. 2020, there were more excess respiratory deaths, so pneumonia was way up. And pneumonia tracks with COVID, tracks with all-cause excess death increase. So you have all-cause deaths increasing in 2020 in an 8 or 9 week period, mid-March to mid-June, and then in the following winter, in the 2020-2021 winter. The same thing happened with COVID. It was up, and then it went down during the year, seasonal. The same thing happened with pneumonia. But for year over year, from 2020 to 2021, the respiratory COVID and all-cause went down, while at the same time, bleeding and clotting deaths, including heart, stroke, pulmonary embolism in your lung, clots throughout your body.
Something changed.
Something changed. So the symptoms changed. The age dropped 16 years. The average age of death in those deaths dropped 16 years. And then, whereas COVID affected older people. And then the seasonality was all year long. So you had everything change on a year boundary in Massachusetts where the deaths could not have been COVID. Just can't be.
Right, right. So we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more Health Freedom Talk Uncensored with John Bowden after the break. If you have a burning question for John, you can call in at 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. So stay with us for more live and local radio from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central. Back to you, Ted.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 8:30 a.m. on the dial or at radio.wcrnradio.com. So first, I want to thank today's show sponsor, Health Rights MA. The mission of Health Rights MA is to ensure that the fundamental human right to bodily autonomy, including the right to exercise informed consent and the right to privacy of personal medical information, is legally protected in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in regards to all medical and health care treatments and procedures. Go to healthrightsma.org and join the thousands of Massachusetts residents who are stepping up to protect their health rights. So today we're talking with John Bowden, but right before we get back into it, I want to let you know about another event coming up where you can hear John. It's sponsored by our host, Health Rights MA. It will be at the Shrewsbury Public Library from 2 to 4 p.m. and it is free to the public. It is called Lessons Learned from COVID Deaths in Massachusetts. It's a discussion of the data. And this event is sponsored by Health Rights Mass and does not represent the views or opinions of the Shrewsbury Public Library or the Board of Library Trustees. You can register for this event because the seating is somewhat limited at healthrightsma.org. So, John, let's get right back into what you found in the Massachusetts death records as you continued to dig into them, because it's not just one thing. It's so many.
What prompted me is that the 7-year-old girl died that I mentioned. Her name is Cassidy. That's the chapter one of my book. That's the title, Cassidy. The news had said that a 7-year-old girl died from COVID. And I'm in my car driving to the gym thinking, no way. You know, I've investigated that for 2 years at that point. And I decided to do the public records request. I did. And I got a record. It says complications of coronavirus 19 viral infection. That's the exact quote on her death certificate. Complications of what? There's nothing else listed in part one. That's where the causes of death are. The contributing conditions are in part two. And yes, she had asthma and bacterial and fungal pleuritis, probably from wearing a mask 6 hours a day in school, 5 days a week, which you grow fungi and bacteria and you rebreathe them deeper into your lungs. We can get into the mask stuff later. But the fact that there's no other cause of death listed where it says complications of coronavirus 19 viral infection was kind of weird. And then I looked at how many other death certificates did that medical examiner in Massachusetts certify? I believe her name was Michelle Math. A lot. And she used that phraseology over and over and over with no other complications, no pneumonia, nothing.
Just what was the phraseology exactly?
Complications of coronavirus 19 viral infection.
With no complications.
With no complications listed.
Hmm. Common sense?
Yeah. So then I decided to look in VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. You know, it's kind of tough sometimes. There's a column that says died, yes or no. So, of course, I looked in that, and I didn't really find what I needed with regard to Cassidy's death, because I know her death was January 18, 2022. So I decided to look at all 7-year-olds that were just reported to VAERS from Massachusetts, so 7-year and female. So I was able to sort on a 70-year-old female, Massachusetts. I found a bunch. I found four death certificates that matched a record. And the record stated the prior injection was injected, started vomiting within 5 minutes, and for the next 8 to 10 hours. That was the prior injection that it discussed in the report, in the VAERS report. The second line was the symptom text. That's the name of the field. And that said, shows she was injected on January 13, 2022. Okay, the VAERS report girl. A 7-year-old female from Massachusetts injected on January 13. And it said, severe abdominal pain, 103-degree fever, didn't have a bowel movement for 3 days. That's the important part of that report. And then the report ends on the 15th because VAERS, made by a joint venture between HHS and basically the United States government.
All of its infinite wisdom.
Yes. When they put that together, you can't update a report. Why can't you? If somebody dies and you just made a report 2 days earlier, and one of the reports I read, it said, does not expect to live. And they did die. I found out the person did die. It's another person. A 17-year-old girl died from a stroke after the vaccine.
And just to clarify, the first shot, she had a terrible reaction,
yep.
And she still got a second shot.
Apparently, according to the report, yes. Now, there's no other girl that fits. There are three other 7-year-olds I discuss in the book, and I explain why they don't fit. One of them died months later, and one of them had another one died later, and one had symptoms that go back like months earlier. That didn't fit either. Cassidy fits that VAERS record perfectly. Somebody did their job. Somebody actually reported to VAERS, and they put their career in jeopardy because in Massachusetts, it is known that if you are found out to have entered a report, which is you're legally obligated to do as a medical professional, they will go after your license.
Exactly. That's so by law, if there's any incident after you have a vaccine, it's supposed to be reported to VAERS by either your doctor or your healthcare practitioner or even yourself if you have to, right?
Yes.
But does that happen?
No. In fact, they're coerced not to. They put their career in jeopardy if they do so and they're found out to have done so. But anyway, so that's what I found out about Cassidy is, yeah, she reacted to the vaccine almost immediately and she died within like 4.5 days. And her death certificate says she died from COVID. So the very people that they rushed out, like parents that read that and heard on the news, Channel 5, Channel 25, it was reported everywhere in Massachusetts that a 7-year-old girl died from COVID.
And then they recommended what?
The vaccine.
That just
killed her. Exactly. The vaccine killed her, and they're reporting to the people that COVID killed her.
I know.
So then I did a bunch more. And, you know, the book starts out about people to grab everybody's attention. Three strokes in 3 women in 3 months. So Diane was 62.
Young and healthy.
Diane at 62, let's see. Her death certificate, acute intracranial hemorrhage in the setting of thrombocytopenia in a person recently vaccinated. I think it was 11 days. It says it right on her death certificate. But the problem is the death certificates, the words that are written go to the CDC for coding. It's a central point of failure. So all the states send their death certificates to the CDC. They get run through a software called Transax and Acme, and that generates codes, an international cause of injury or death codes called ICD-10 codes. The code that was applied to, let's say, Solomon's death certificate on January 16, 2021, who died, was Y59.0, which is viral vaccines. Okay, it was actually coded properly by the software, so we know the software works. After Solomon Kizito of January 16, 2021, there are no subsequent uses of Y59.0. Even when the death certificate says the vaccine was a cause of death in part one of the death certificate, which Diane's did say. So Y59.0 is missing from her death certificate, fraudulently missing. In fact, somebody must have deleted it at the CDC because software is automatic. So it should have picked up the word vaccination. It should have known the software is not a human person. It should have generated that code. There's other stuff in the memorandum that proves that the CDC did this because of the Minnesota death certificates and an article that was written by Aaron Hertzberg on July 3rd, 2023. He wrote the article and said fraudulently missing codes. So Greg Piper from Just the News picked it up, contacted the CDC, and the CDC, Kristen Nordland, responded saying, oh, well, It doesn't say side effect of or adverse effect of, and it says vaccination, not vaccine. And a vaccination is not a vaccine, so we didn't code it. It makes no sense at all. Don't try to figure that out.
Common sense. Where did it go?
Don't try to figure that out, because she tailored her excuse to the three in Minnesota that were coded. That because one said side effect of, the other said adverse effect of, and one said vaccination, not vaccine. So she tailored her excuse, not realizing we also have the Massachusetts death certificates of Solomon Kizitow, the software did pick it up, did apply Y59.0 for the word vaccination, where side effect of and adverse effect of were not used. So it blows her excuse out of the water, creates more fraud. And this isn't just fraud like we colloquially talk about fraud. These are federal felonies like 18 U.S.C. 1035, 1040, 1343, fraud by wire. The others were fraud and disaster relief, false statements in healthcare matters.
You have a lawsuit.
Yes.
Can you just tell us real quick? We have about 2 minutes left, but if you could tell us real quick about your lawsuit, and we can maybe talk about it more later, but we're coming up on a break, and I just want to make sure we get that in.
Yeah, sure. So I sued the governor, the public health commissioner, the chief medical examiner, and four individual medical examiners in Massachusetts for massive amounts of fraud on public death certificates and public records. One is the fraud of commission, where they write COVID on a death certificate. I have hundreds of blunt force trauma to the head, blunt force trauma to the torso, fentanyl overdoses, all labeled COVID officially and officially counted as COVID deaths. If they're willing to label accidental deaths as COVID, what do you think they're willing to do for 90-year-olds who die of pneumonia and heart attacks? So there's massive amounts of fraud in that regard, but there's also the fraud of omission. They're omitting vaccine as a cause of death where they know the vaccine caused the death, such as Brianna McCarthy reacted in hours, died in a few days from a stroke. Diane Dubois, I mentioned, died from a stroke. Eden McDonald was 17 years old. Brianna was only 30 years old, a high school teacher in Methuen. Eden was from Essex and 17 years old, went to the doctor twice for a headache after the first vaccine, and when her headache resolved, she got her second one, and she died from a cerebral venous sinus thrombosis stroke. That's three women in 3 months, all reacting in hours from the vaccine and dying in days. Only one of them, it says COVID vaccine on her death certificate. None of them are coded for the vaccine as a cause of death when it's obvious.
So it's like I'm hearing two things. There's these immediate people that are dying from the vaccine within days. And then there's also what's happening in the death certificates after people get a shot, maybe much later, maybe six months later. We're seeing other things in the death certificates. So we're going to be back with John after the break. So stay tuned. If you have burning questions for John, you can call in at 508-871-7000, 508-871-7000. The lines are open. So you're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 a.m. on the dial. Or you can tune in at WCRNradio.com. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with John Bowden. We're going to hear more about what he found from the Massachusetts death records that he FOIA'd. Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio, live and local, on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. Today we have a guest in studio. And before we continue, I just want to let you know that you can also come see him in person. There's an event coming up on March 10th from 2 to 4 in Shrewsbury. It's called Lessons Learned from COVID Deaths in Massachusetts, a Discussion of the Data. You can register for that at healthrightsma.org. Okay, so I love memes, John. And today, my meme of the day is, I tried to follow the science, but it simply wasn't there. And then I followed the money, and that's where I found the science. So that's one of the things I would love to talk about today. You wanted to talk about your lawsuit first. You wanted to finish up talking about that. But then I would love to follow the money and see where it goes.
Yeah, I really just wanted to close on the lawsuit. What I'm asking the state for, it's not about money. It's fully injunctive relief I'm asking for, and that is to have the U.S. District Court judge in District of Massachusetts order the governor and the public health commissioner and so forth to tell the truth to the people. That's it. Just stop the fraud, correct all the fraud that was committed, and tell the truth to the people, because that's all the people need. If the people get the truth, and that is people reacted in minutes, died in days, reacted in hours, died in weeks, and those are the acute problems, like acute post-hemorrhagic anemia, thrombocytopenia, a bunch of big words that all have to do with clotting and bleeding. People say, well, the vaccine
strokes
can't,
and heart attacks.
It can't be causing strokes and heart attacks and gastrointestinal hemorrhages, can it? Well, yeah, it's all the same thing. It just depends on where they end up in your bloodstream.
But isn't it convenient they just call everything long COVID?
Well, that's another issue. We don't have time for that one.
Okay.
But I want to hit the long term. The long term, given the contaminants that are in the vaccines that Kevin McKernan found, there are longer term things like lymph node cancer is up about it's at 400% of normal in 2023. That's up from 258% of normal in 2022 and still rising. So what would you expect? What cancers would you expect from something that goes in your bloodstream? Well, blood and blood-forming organs would be hit first. And yes, bone marrow cancer is up. Lymph node cancer is up big time. And now the other cancers are coming in. So cancer is on the rise substantially since this gene therapy drug they call a vaccine. So I closed out on those issues. Now we can talk about follow the money.
Okay. And where does it take you?
Well, if you want to modify people's behavior, you give them incentive. My career was in semiconductor research sales. I never did the research. I sold software to semiconductor research and design companies so that they can design chips and boards. And then eventually I sold into process development, multi-billion-dollar companies, large contracts. I spoke to billion-dollar CFOs, CTOs, CEOs in putting these together.
Now, so you're a really dumb guy.
Yeah. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. So, you know, sociology, psychology, economics, engineering, the physical world.
And you have your MBA also, right?
Yeah.
And you went back to law school.
Yeah, but they kicked me out because I wouldn't get the vaccine.
Yeah, they told
me I never had to get it expressly written in a statement. But, you know, let's get to the point of follow the money and why I brought up these behavior modifications. There's something called a SPIF, a special incentive. People in sales departments, you give them, if you want to sell more apples than pears because you have too many apples in inventory, you give them an incentive to sell apples. They'll sell more apples than they will pears. And that's what they did. The CARES Act itself is a behavior modification of doctors and hospitals in that they incentivize the use of remdesivir. They incentivize COVID being put on death certificates. They incentivize the use of ventilators. If you incentivize something, you get more of it. If you subsidize something, you get more of it. Walter E. Williams, brilliant economist, recently died. Thomas Sowell said similar things. Milton Friedman said similar things. If you incentivize something, you'll get more of it. So they incentivize COVID being put on death certificates. And they got a lot of COVID put on death certificates, regardless of whether they had COVID or not. Ventilation. I'll just give you an example because that plays better with the audience. 28-year-old woman, her mother brought her in because she was coughing and she was worried about COVID because she was scared from the news that COVID's really bad. And her neighbor's little O2 oxygen thing on her finger said 87%. So she brought her daughter into the ER. And what did the ER do? They immediately tested her for COVID. And upon testing her for COVID, they put her on remdesivir because they get a ton of money for remdesivir. Now, her oxygen upon entering the hospital was not 87%. It was 95%.
Which is perfect, right?
90% is fine. It's absolutely fine. Below 90, you start to worry. You just begin to worry.
So maybe the finger one didn't work so well?
Yeah, the neighbor's finger one, you know, probably got it at, I don't want to mention a store, but yeah.
Low battery, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? The point is, the records show it's 95%. And when I say that, I have the 6,000-page medical file. And I have used OCR software, optical character recognition, and turned that image, because they give images of the pages to the family members after people die, to make it so much harder for them to look through 6,000 pages. By running it through the software, I converted it back to a searchable file. And
brilliant.
I could search for the words remdesivir or Vanco or V-A-N-C. I'll tell you that in a second, what that means. So she's 95% oxygen, and I'm looking at her all the way up through. So she takes her remdesivir, and then they start prepping her for ventilation. You get propofol, midazolam, lorazepam, dexmedetomidine, fentanyl, and then they put her on a ventilator and going right up, and I have her hourly vital signs. I have her temperature, breathing rate, pulse, blood pressure. I have it all.
I've heard so many of these stories.
She's 95%. They put her on a ventilator. Of course she gets an infection because everybody that goes on a ventilator gets an infection. And because it kind of rattles around down your tube there, it gets into the bloodstream. She went septic and they put her on vancomycin to get rid of the sepsis. And, of course, that killed her kidneys. There are people that will say the remdesivir killed her kidneys or baricitinib. The point is
death by hospital protocol.
Death by hospital protocol. And you can look through people around the country. The NIAID, I think someone corrected me last night. It's not the CDC. When they corrected me, it was NIAID that put this protocol together. Several people around the country are saying the exact same thing. When I say several, I don't mean, 10 or 20. I'm talking tens of thousands of people. A million excess people were killed by something. Not COVID in the last few years. And it's a combination of hospital protocols and this so-called vaccine.
Wow.
The data shows it completely. And I evince that throughout the two books.
So I really, and speaking out is hard, telling people this is a truth they don't want to hear, and it's hard to hear. And that's why we're here on Health Freedom Radio Uncensored, so we can talk about it and try to get the word out because we care. I mean, I care about people. People I know and love are being hurt by this particular medical intervention. We have a caller on the line, Chardell. Do you have a question for John Bowden? We appreciate you calling in.
Oh, thank you so much. It's not exactly a question, but I just want to thank him for speaking up and not only speaking up, but doing something about all this corruption. And I've spoke up many times on the topic, and, I'm considered a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist.
Welcome to the club, Chardell.
Yeah, it hurts sometimes, but sometimes I'm like, no, the truth needs to come out, and this is just so refreshing to hear some truth on the radio, through the media, through not being censored.
I agree.
So I just want to thank him, and I hope that I can get to the Shrewsbury Library and hear more. And I would hope that I could talk to him about some topics I know and some truth I found out by digging deep as well.
Yeah. And John, can you just tell people real quick again where they can get your book?
Oh, sure. TheRealCDC.com. It's really easy.
Very easy.
The title of the book is The Real CDC, and that's a little D. Because it means coquin de chien, which is naughty dog or bad dog in French. I like el gato malo. El gato malo is the bad cat. It's Spanish. I'm French, so I did that. And the initials of coquin de chien is CDC. So it has nothing to do with the Centers for Disease Promotion.
So we just want to thank Chardell so much for calling in. We appreciate it. If anybody else wants to call in, I did see another caller, but they probably couldn't wait. If you want to call in, the lines are open, but John's going to just continue on with telling us. I mean, I know that we could talk for hours, so, give us the highlights.
All right. So, thank you very much, Chardell. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. I can't not do this because I lost my son. I've got really nothing else going on. I just want to save other kids. And people are injecting their kids thinking they're doing the right thing because they're being propagandized by the government. And I've proven everything. It's all sitting in Exhibit F of my case. I filed the case in August of 2022. All the parties were served by September 9, 2022, so that's basically express written notice. They have a legal duty to act on information and belief that the public is being harmed. They haven't acted on the information. In fact, they've suppressed it. The case was dismissed based on standing. Now I have an argument for standing doctrine at the First Circuit Court of Appeals. So I have two lawsuits going on. One is against the law school for throwing me out. That's a contract violation I don't have to talk about now. But the other one is I had to come up with a personalized grievance. Well, all the law schools now have these vaccine mandates, and they said expressly they created the vaccine mandates based on the data coming out from the state. Now, if they're basing it on the data from the state is responsible for the fraudulent data. That's why I sued the state. Correct your fraudulent data, the mandates will go away. But there's a lot of other things that are happening in society, like an 11-year-old boy gets a booster shot because his mom thinks she's doing the right thing for him. Now, how does she feel? Because he gets chest pains, trouble breathing, goes to Children's. They put him on a ventilator so they could get their extra CARES Act money for the ventilation use. He dies. They donate his heart. They pull it out of his chest. It's full of clots.
Unbelievable. And we hear this all the time. I've heard so many stories because I follow this. It's kind of like a part of my daily life. I see stories every single day of young people dying and having heart attacks and blood clots and suddenly in their sleep. And it's happening here in Massachusetts. It's happening across the nation. It's happening around the world. And because of censorship, people aren't seeing it, and so they can't get the truth. But I think when we look in our hearts, we all know that we know somebody that died suddenly, or, you know, we have relatives that we're seeing get, they got cancer really suddenly and then passed away. So I want to have a resource for people to go to. If you're vaccine injured or you think someone you know or love is vaccine injured, there's a great website, react19.org. They're there to give you guidance and help and point you in the right direction. So we're going to be back with John Bowden again after the break. You're listening to CRN Radio 830, and you can also listen at WCRNradio.com. You can listen on the TuneIn app.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial or at crnradio.com. If you want to keep us talking about Health Freedom Uncensored on the airwaves, where we can reach outside the censorship bubble, we're going to need sponsors. So if you have some, and we do have some great sponsorship opportunities, if you want to find out about them, you can email hello@healthfreedomradio.org. And on Health Freedom Radio, we really want to connect businesses who love freedom with patrons who also love freedom. I know when I'm deciding where to spend my money, especially since the lockdowns of 2020, I think about how that business owner or company treated people. We want to highlight local businesses that love freedom, that little thing that makes America so great, from your accountant to your insurance agent, your restaurants, your plumber, your electrician, your doctor, a real estate agent. Who supports health freedom? So you're not only voting with your dollar, as they say, but you're also helping to build a strong health freedom community and economy in Massachusetts. And there are other ways to support the show. Please become a walking billboard. We have merch on our website. The website is healthfreedomradio.org. We have 100% cotton t-shirts and sweatshirts. We have a water bottle and a coffee cup and a baseball cap, and I brought some samples to my local freedom meeting this weekend, and I'll tell you, the light blue sweatshirt was definitely the favorite, the one that I'm wearing. And John promised he's going to wear his Health Freedom Radio t-shirt to the gym, and I'm going to hold him to that. I want a picture. So you can also go to the website, healthfreedomradio.org, and support the show if you want to donate a couple bucks a month. If a lot of people did that, we wouldn't have to worry about sponsors. But we do love our sponsors. So, John, let's talk about the vaccine. And what did you find when you dug into the death records in regards to the shots themselves? And when I say vaccines, I mean the COVID-19
gene therapy drugs.
Gene therapy shots. Yes. Sorry. I know people cringe when I say it, and I apologize. But just for the sake of viewers that don't realize now that it's actually not a traditional vaccine, but a gene therapy treatment.
If anybody has an old dictionary on the shelf, they can look it up. They changed the definition of the word vaccine in 2020 in order to include this. Now, there are some lawsuits where the definition actually means a lot. But that's another story. Just people have to realize that things were changed in order to call it a vaccine because it came with a pre-recognized, you know, people were comfortable with vaccines. They would not be comfortable with a gene therapy drug never before used in en masse in humans, right? So if you call it a word, the word also comes with another word, anti-vaxxer. And they changed the definition of that word, too. And they added anyone who opposes any government vaccine mandates is an anti-vaxxer. So they threw in the government. If you don't believe what the government says, you're an anti-vaxxer. So in changing the definitions, it allowed them to say certain things and to make certain people in the public more comfortable with the words. But getting to the vaccine. So, I mean, I found that I told you about the causes of death. You have the short-term and long-term things. Short-term being bleeding and clotting. Just use that as a summary because we're short on time. And it's throughout the body. Strokes, gastrointestinal hemorrhages, heart attacks. You hear about myocarditis quite a bit. That's less than 1% of the overall vax deaths. More than 4,000 people, by the extrapolation of the data that I have, it's hard to prove anything, right? But by the data, it shows that about 4,000 at a minimum died in Massachusetts alone from the vaccine.
From the first round of shots, so that's from your first set of data, not since, right?
That's 20. Well, I can just go by year. That's 21 and 22.
Yeah, but it's 24. What happened in 23?
23, another 1,000 or more probably died. And more people, now that the vaccine uptake has gone down, because even free people that are pro-vax are not taking it, they're not admitting why they're not taking it. They're just not taking it. Gee, I wonder why.
Well, because after a few, you kind of realize maybe it's not working.
When you your neighbor's kids are dying or your grandparents are dying, you know what it's from. So the vaccine uptake has gone down, and the acute, so the sudden sequelae, they use the word, sudden injuries from the vaccine, have gone down as the vaccine uptake has gone down, but the long-term effects such as cancers and turbo cancer, turbo dementia have gone up still, and they're still going up.
Turbo dementia? I haven't heard that one yet.
I made it up. But it is catching on. It's going to be on a national news thing soon. And why I call it turbo dementia, when you read enough death certificates, like here's an example, fever and mental status changes shortly after getting it and died 5 days after. So what that means is they wrote this in the death certificate. She reacted with mental status changes within a day, and within 5 days she was dead. And it's like I don't like to get into the technical stuff. Like
somehow it's affecting the brain, though.
Well, the lipid nanoparticles are going up to the capillaries and the vasculature of the brain, attaching to the endothelial cells, which are the inside blood vessels, the inside lining of a blood vessel, and those cells are being transfected by the LNPs, which then call out to be killed. They're killed by white cells that come and attack, T cells basically. And when the T cells attack and kill the endothelial cells, they basically eat a hole through your vasculature in your brain, and now you have like leaky brain, right? And so there's vascular dementia, there's different kinds of dementia. I don't want to get into the technical stuff.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. I did hear a secondhand story about a woman who her husband got the shot and like changed overnight. And I think he ended up taking
anger. I've known since I was a kid, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a biologist, but I watch enough TV and movies. Okay, people are going to laugh, but you learn that certain aneurysms and things that go on in the brain can cause mood changes such as sudden anger and or depression. A lot of the suicides, I believe, that have occurred are the result of people being depressed because their body's not working the way it's supposed to be, and they have sudden mood changes.
But when your gut isn't healthy, your brain isn't healthy. And
gut's another issue. Yeah, absolutely. I do want to get into one thing you asked before, not only to follow the money, but people need to understand Massachusetts is central to COVID in the entire world. And I'm in Massachusetts, so of course I'm going to say that. Well, no, it's a lot more than that. Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey led the world in purported COVID deaths, especially in the first wave. So on July 27, 2020, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts were numbers 1, 2, and 3 in the entire world. And that's all states in the United States with 3 million population or more, or any nation in the world with 3 million population or more. A distant fourth was Belgium. Massachusetts, being third in the world with purported COVID deaths from the first wave, was 50% more than Belgium. How can that possibly be?
Well, you're saying purported, but then you're also saying that we didn't really have as many deaths from COVID as we said we did.
There is about Massachusetts inflated COVID deaths probably 10x.
Wow.
As far as fraud goes. Yeah. Yeah.
And the length of time. It wasn't really 3 years. Your data shows that it was really more like 9 weeks of a very bad flu.
Yeah. Well, that first one was a lot of neglect. But I want to get to the point of Massachusetts said and New York said that, and New York was even more fraud than Massachusetts. I thought Massachusetts was the worst, but when I look at the curves from New York, it's impossible that a disease would do that. But okay. That's a disease starts halfway around the world, and then New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts have the most deaths purported. How can that possibly be? So what's in Massachusetts? Okay, Moderna's headquarters is in Massachusetts. Their R&D is in Massachusetts for the mRNA vaccines. Pfizer's divisional headquarters for the mRNA is in Massachusetts. Massachusetts has 10 companies with over $1 billion in pharma revenue each year. 50 companies with over $100 million in pharma revenue each year. Walensky, head of the CDC, is from Massachusetts. My congressman, Jake Auchincloss, his father, Hugh Auchincloss, worked for Fauci for a couple decades as the number two guy.
And you're not even talking about all of the federal funds that came in through the CARES and the ARPA.
They all funded the vaccines. Yeah. Massachusetts did extremely well. Now, New York has Wall Street with BlackRock and all the companies that own a lot of the pharma stock. So a disease starts halfway around the world, and the three states that have the most to gain in the entire world purported the most COVID deaths in the world for the first wave. What are the odds of that? So there's just so much going on that people need to be aware of. And, you know, a lot of people were killed by these vaccines, like I said. In my book, I go through the causes of death and the actual people. It's all hard evidence. It's irrefutable. The CDC memorandum is a notice of criminal liability to the directors of the CDC, FDA, NIH, and 12 of their subordinates, including Peter Marks, Janet Woodcock, and so forth. Once they know the absolute irrefutable evidence against both the vaccine and the hospital protocol murders, they have a legal duty to investigate and stop them. Stop killing the American people. It's irrefutable. I can't say any more than that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. So thanks, Ted, for reminding me. So, John, I just want to thank you so much for being here. I would love if you would come back in the future again. I think we could talk for hours about all these, so many things. If you want to sign up for John's event on Sunday, go to healthrightsma.org and sign up there. It's March 10th at the Shrewsbury Public Library. Lessons learned from COVID deaths in Massachusetts. You can also get his book at therealcdc.com, and that's coming out very soon, and the memorandum. And basically, the lesson learned is COVID-19 deaths were basically overcounted and the vaccine deaths were hidden. So I want to remind everybody to vote today. It is so important. MAFreedomSlate.com is where you can find people that are campaigning on a slate of freedom. And I want to thank WCRN Radio that we can have this conversation uncensored. And if you would, we want to make sure you're going to tune in next week and every week for Health Freedom Radio Talk Uncensored. And now stay tuned for more live and local radio at WCRN 830 AM Radio Central on the dial.
You've been listening to Health Freedom Radio on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information. Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Stay with us for more live and local radio right here on Radio Central WCRN, AM 830.